Good morning. Let me get situated here. How are all of you doing this morning? It's always, again, just such a blessing to look out and to see you and to know each week, you know, no matter who is up here, that we totally believe that it is the Lord who has given us the things that we're going to share. And that's what we count on. In fact, I'm always keenly aware that if what I'm sharing is just off the top of my head, so to speak, it's Judy's thoughts, you know, those words might as well just fall to the ground. You know that story where when Samuel was a little boy and he heard from the Lord, and it says none of his words fell to the ground, you know, because they were God's words that Samuel was listening to. And if you're listening to just my words, may they fall to the ground. But the things that the Lord is wanting to speak to you, I so pray that you will take to heart, you will embrace, because it will have its way in your life, and it will produce good fruit. This morning, we're going to be talking about fear. And this is something that before I even left the sanctuary 2 weeks ago, the Lord spoke to my heart that it just needed to be addressed. I was speaking about prayer that time 2 weeks ago, and in my mind, that was going to be kind of that. And as I say, before I even left the sanctuary, the Lord showed me that there needed to be more. And fear is a big thing for women. And I mean, it's probably a big thing for mankind because it's addressed in the Bible over and over and over again. So it's a natural inclination that our flesh has. You know, it can be our default, so to speak, for any situation is to respond in fear, respond in anxiety. And so the story that we're going to open up with, and I'd like you to turn there, is Matthew 14. And again, this is a very familiar story to all of us, but nevertheless, I think there's really something in that. So Matthew 14, and this is the NIV I'm reading from. And it starts in 22, and this is right after the feeding of the 5,000. So we know that the disciples had witnessed an amazing miracle, you know. But it's so funny how the Lord can do something huge in our lives that we recognize at the moment, you know, this is the Lord, look what he did. And sometimes it doesn't have to be the next day. It could be an hour later. Something else happens, and it's like no recollection of what we've just seen him do. It's we so respond to whatever is right there in front of us. And that's what we're going to see here. Verse 22. Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Verse 25, during the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. Verse 28. Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Verse 29. Come. And that's the same word that we're seeing in our passage from 11:28. Come, he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink, cried out, Lord, save me. Verse 31, immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And I love where the New Living Translation says, "Why did you doubt me?" Because that's what we need to see. You know, it wasn't that Peter was doubting himself, because he already knew what he would do trying to walk on water. He was doubting the Lord. And that's what we need to recognize. And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." And as I say, this is a very familiar story to all of us. We've all heard it multiple times. And so often it's, you know, the focus is on Peter, who was lacking faith, and he's put in a bad light. You know, if he had just kept his eyes on the Lord, he could have kept walking, you know. I've never seen it that way. I always think, Peter got out of the boat. You know, I love that. And I think the Lord must have loved that too. In fact, I truly believe when he said, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" You know, well, you read some commentaries and they'll actually word it, Jesus rebuked Peter. You know, to rebuke someone is to speak in an angry way, a critical way. And as I've thought of that, I thought, don't think so. And the picture that came to my mind, and I thought a lot of you moms can identify with this, you know, many of us have taught our kids how to ride a two-wheeler or how to swim. Now, when they were first starting out and they managed to keep that balance, you know, to stay afloat, and I'm talking about for 10 seconds, what did you do? Didn't we all cheer? Weren't we all just so happy for them? You know, we didn't say, why didn't you just keep pedaling? Why didn't you just keep, you know, paddling? No, we cheer. We're telling them, you got it. You're getting it. You're doing so good. And see, in my mind, that is a more accurate reflection of how the Lord responded to Peter. I think there must have been a huge smile on Jesus' face when he said, "Why did you have so little faith?" I think he said that with a big smile, because I think he was delighted to know that Peter knew, even if it was for a very, very short window, he knew that Jesus was able. He never would have asked to have Jesus bid him to come to him if he didn't know that he was able. But that knowing lasted a very short time, and that's the way our faith can be. We can know, and in those little moments, don't you love it when you know and you just feel the faith in God, the confidence in God? It's such a wonderful thing. And yet, like Peter, it can be all too short-lived. And it's because the things that are causing our anxiety, the things that cause our fear, are so right there in front of us. And see, that's what it was with Peter. I mean, it says that there was, you know, a raging wind, that the boat was buffeted by the wind and the waves. And you picture that storm going on. And what one of us wouldn't have been distracted by a huge wave that you see in your peripheral vision? You know, wouldn't you go, you know, oh, that's right, there's a storm here, you know? There's not one of us who wouldn't do that. And our mistake is in thinking that wave, that storm, is reality. And the truth is, yep, it is reality. But Jesus was right there in front of him. Jesus is right with us. And what we need to see is that is the greater reality. And that's what we're going to be focusing on this morning, that he is our greater reality, his presence with us. You know, I think, wouldn't it have been so great if Peter could have just hung on a little bit longer, you know, walking all the way to Jesus, and I pictured them just kind of strolling together back into the boat. You know, wouldn't that have been amazing? Maybe Peter would have become extremely obnoxious after that if he had accomplished that. Maybe that would have been a much greater distraction in his life than the waves were. But as we read or listen to the story about Peter walking on water, getting distracted by his fear, I know there's not one of us here who couldn't say, been there, done that. Because that is something we all go through. 2 weeks ago, I was sharing the importance of prayer. And prayer is huge in our lives. And prayer, that constant communion with the Lord, all day long, what that does is that reinforces in our own heart and mind his presence, that he's there. And that's why we should just, as kind of the most natural thing, something happens, boom, we break into prayer, talking to the Lord. If you're alone like I am a lot of times, you can do it out loud. But maybe you're with a lot of people and you need to just pray in your heart. And I was thinking this morning, you know, of how easy it is, and it's probably pretty telling, to see what we do when a crisis appears in our lives. You know, do we run to our phone because we want to tell our prayer partner, we want to tell our best friend, please pray, this is what's just happened. You know, we go to the computer, or we put it on Facebook, you know, prayer alert, you know, please pray for this, you know. And we do all of that without praying ourselves first. It's like, got to get this. They need to know. She needs to know. And if that is how we respond, what we really need to see is that it's telling us who our best friend is. Jesus said, there's a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Jesus wants to be that one that when something happens, we immediately go to him. Yes, I'm a great believer in prayer chains. I'm a great believer in reaching out and having people pray. So don't misunderstand, because there is power in prayer, and that's wonderful. But ask yourself, and maybe some of you are already knowing, you know, what is your default? What's the first thing you go to? Is it your very best girlfriend? Is it your husband? Is it a prayer group? Or is it the Lord? Because it needs to be the Lord that we call out to. I told you about the Christmas gifts that I got, the two plaques, and one being rest in him, and the other saying, I'm here, God. And those are, even though I thought I placed them just very spontaneously, I came to realize that they were really placed very strategically, because I can see them so many times in my day when I'm home. And I love that, because it's the reinforcement of the reality, you know, that if I'm feeling anxious, rest in him. If something seems terrible, I'm here, God. I've come to just love those two plaques, which, as I said, I call signs from God, because I absolutely believe that he is using them to speak to me throughout the day, and what a blessing it is. It's so easy for us to become distracted by pressing circumstances, by the news. And I shared how one of those signs, Rest in Him, is right under my TV screen. And that is perfect for me because that's exactly what I need to see. And you know, I can tell you that there are many times that my immediate response to a situation, in fact, and this is what always happens when the Lord has me preparing a teaching for something, it's always me first. I'm the one who's corrected first. He shows me this isn't something they need to know. It's something you need to know. And I see, much to my grief, how often the very first response to something is fear-based. It's anxiety. And see, I love the fact that, see, I can confess that to you so freely because I know for a fact that you all do the same thing. I mean, it's a fact. There is not a day that goes by, not one day that goes by, that I do not talk to a woman, if not women, who are battling fear. It's just such a part of our lives. It's, you know, and this isn't something we need to feel guilty about. And by that I mean, I don't believe Jesus rebukes us any more than he rebuked Peter. He knows what we're made of. He knows that we are flesh. And he knows that we're given to fear. But he does correct us. He does lovingly say, where's your faith? He wants us to trust in him, to believe in him. And there have been some really trying times where he, in my own life, where I feel he has spoken to me saying, this is a wonderful opportunity to trust me. And if we would only look at those things that cause us fear, cause us anxiety, and instead feel a feeling pulled down, to just think, you know what? This is a great opportunity to trust the Lord and see what he's going to do. And that's one of the reasons I love what I get to do in meeting with women, because so often I get to hear the rest of the story. And the stories are wonderful. And in fact, sometimes, especially in a situation where it may not be a person I know that well, the person might come in or we might talk on the phone and they share something and it's, you know, huge, and we pray together, we share scriptures together or whatever, and then I don't see or hear from them. And time will go by and I'll think, you know, whatever happened? You know, what was the rest of the story? And I love it because invariably when I do hear, it's about how faithful God was, how miraculous he was. And again, there's not one of us here who couldn't stand up and say, let me tell you one of my stories. He is so good. He is so faithful. It says in Proverbs 12:25, anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad. How many people, how many women battle with depression? And for those of you who do, ask yourself, do you have anxiety you wrestle with? Is anxiety like linked to you? It's so part of you. You know, some people say, well, you know, I'm just a warrior. That's the way I've always been. My mother was a warrior too, you know, as if we inherited worrying. And no, it's part of a sinful condition that we all have. But we can choose to turn from that. But it's an exercise, and you have to be diligent in it. It's a constant exercise. When I was reading about anxiety in the heart causes depression, there's another translation that says anxiety in the heart weighs a man down. And I laughed because I immediately thought of Peter. It literally weighed him down. Down he went as he felt the anxiety of the wind and the waves. The Lord so desires for us to experience what only He can do. And again, if this is speaking to you, you know, I may not have the smile on my face I want. In fact, sometimes I've looked at my videos and I've stopped because one of the things that I hate is I tend to look very serious, and I don't know why I do that. But I want you to know that that is not the Lord. I believe when He knows that you need to look to Him, you need to trust in Him, He has such a look of love toward you. He feels such love for you. And He knows that you can do better. He knows that you can look to Him and receive that gift of faith, that encouragement that will lift you out of that pit that the enemy wants us to be in. And again, you know, there are many times that the women who come to me, the fears that they share, I mean, they are founded. Yes, there are also women who live in the constant, you know, well, what if, what if, what if, and that's how they kind of live their life is, well, what if, what if, what if. And yet I will tell you that even if it's that kind of a situation, I guarantee you I would never say to that woman, where is your faith? That fear is positively ridiculous. I would never say that, because the reality is for that person, all of those what ifs play out into these horrible scenarios. It's not like they're fun. They're horrible scenarios. And yet it's the same word that Peter heard from Jesus. Jesus would speak to you. You know, He wants you to look to Him. He wants you to know that even in the cases where, and as I say, there are women who share things with me that they are founded fears. I mean, they are what you and I would say, hey, that is reality. And we do need to look at reality and not be afraid to look at reality. But how we need to remember that Jesus is with us. And that is the greater reality. That's what He wants us to see, and that's what He wants us to keep in our minds. And especially when those fears are so legitimate, you know, so valid. Because though our fears may have merit, nothing is too hard for the Lord. Nothing is bigger than He is. And again, see, that is what the picture the enemy gives us, is that, you know, yeah, this, this, and this. You can pray about that, and God will take care of that. But I mean this. That's what the enemy wants to do. And no, not this. Because God is in control. God is sovereign. I loved, if you're going through the one-year Bible with us this morning, you know, talking about when Moses goes and the Exodus, and right now we're in the middle of the various plagues. And it said how there was the hail and how it came down and how it wiped out every person who wasn't in shelter, wiped out every man, every plant, and it said even the trees were destroyed. Then it says, except in the land of Goshen, where the people of Israel lived. And I'm picturing this incredible hailstorm that God sends down, except in the land of Goshen. I mean, wouldn't that be interesting to see how it circumvented the land of Goshen? God is sovereign. This life isn't easy. We have plenty of very valid things to cause fear in us. I mean, legitimate, valid reasons to be fearful. but how we need to remember that our Lord is faithful. And he is going to work all of these things together for good. We cannot even imagine it in some situations, but we can believe that he will do that. You know, this whole study has been based on Matthew 11, 28, where Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." That's an open invitation. He extends it to every single one of us, no matter what we are dealing with. And yet what we need to see is that fear will rob us from that rest. In Psalm 60, verse 3, it says, "You have shown your people desperate times." And many would say, we live in desperate times right now. We can watch the news in despair. We can be alarmed. So much so that we would love to just grab all of our loved ones and go hide out in some cave somewhere. I mean, that's what, to me, it elicits in us. Let's just go somewhere and be safe. Turn to Psalm 112. I want you to see this in your own Bible. I'm going to start in verse 5. "Good will come to him who is generous and lends freely, who conducts his affairs with justice." 6. "Surely he will never be shaken. A righteous man will be remembered forever. He will have no fear of bad news. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord." And you might say, yeah, but the news, I mean, Judy, isn't that reality? Yes, it is. But Jesus said in John 16:33, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." Then in Matthew 28:20, "Surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." He is with us. He is with us always. And how we need to remember that. You know, we may love those verses. We may even already have them highlighted, underlined in our Bibles. And yet we may not live as if we really believe them. We need to allow those verses to carry great weight instead of allowing our problems to carry so much weight and to loom as bigger in life. Oswald Chambers has a term that I love, calculating without God. And I love that term because it's basically when we are looking at our life and God isn't in that picture. And we can do that so easily. That's calculating without God. Put God into that picture, whatever it is. And maybe some of you today are dealing with something really, really big. Ask yourself right now, so when I've been thinking about that, is God in that picture? Put him in that picture, and I guarantee you it will change your response to it. Again, Jesus is not scolding us when we get caught up in those distractions. Don't have that picture of him, but he is bidding us, even as he did to Peter, he's bidding us to come to him. To look to him, to live in him. Whatever our circumstances may be, maybe they do provoke fears. And they are, in fact, reality. But would you please, again, see what he wants you to see in them? And that is, his presence is with you. And he is greater. He is the greater reality. In Psalm 23, it says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." And what's the rest of that verse? "For thou art with me." You know, I told you about a gal a couple of weeks ago who had found out that her time on earth was very, very limited. And she asked me if I knew how I would feel if a doctor had told me that. And I told her, no, I did not know how I would feel. But what I have seen in her, and this is, we have two sisters who are from Athi who actually come to the study when they could, Kathy and Terry. Kathy is the one I'm speaking of now. And I have seen Kathy go through this with such a peace, I can hardly believe it. What she is feeling in the way of concern isn't self-oriented. It's about her loved ones, her kids, her husband. I mean, that's where her thoughts are. How are they going to do? But she has peace. In fact, I talked to her on the phone, and I said, "Kathy, you sound so strong." I mean, I couldn't believe how strong her voice sounds. And she says, "Well, make no mistake, I'm failing, I'm going down." And Kathy, if you know her, she is a funny gal. And when I was visiting her, you know, here she is so frail. And she's joking. She puts out these little one-liners, you know, where she rolls her eyes, you know, and she has us all laughing. And I'm thinking, look at this woman. She does not have fear because she is so aware of the presence of God. And Terry is in the same situation. She has cancer that she is going through chemo for now, and those who love her and are close to her kind of anticipated when they went to see her that, you know, she would be down, she would need to be encouraged, she would need, you know, maybe some scripture read. And one gal told me when she went to see her, here Terry is sharing with her this little book that she's keeping where she's writing down all the blessings in any given day, all the things that she has to be thankful for. And she grabs this book as Jackie said, it's getting thicker and thicker, and just started sharing these things. And Jackie said, when I left her, I was the blessed one. I was the encouraged one. I will tell you right now, Kathy and Terry have something very strong in common. They are keenly aware of the presence of God in their lives. They are keenly aware of his sovereignty. He is in control. Heaven is real. They can trust him for whatever is happening right now and for whatever is yet to come. You know, I remember when I battled with fear when I first became a single mom. And I remember that was such a gripping fear. I lived in kind of a big house, and our bedrooms were on the second floor, and something about at night, you shut off the light, and you're so vulnerable up here. And I remember I'd have this thought of, okay, what if there was a fire? And I would do this little escape plan in my mind of, this is who I'd wake first, this is what we would do. And I had talked to the children, but it was like I had to go through this in my mind to reassure myself I had a plan. Or maybe I would be lying there and I'd think, what if a burglar ever broke into the house? what would I do then? I mean, oh my goodness, you know, and I'm picturing a person downstairs and what would happen there. And during this time, the Lord gave me a wonderful verse, and it's from Psalm 4, verse 8, and it says, I will lie down and sleep in peace, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. And I wrote that on a 3x5 card, and I put it on my nightstand, and every night before I shut that light out, I picked up that card and I read it until I knew it by heart and I didn't have to pick up the card anymore. And I will tell you, that was the most powerful verse. And I remember it was at some point later, whether it might have been a year or two later, I don't know, but I was all alone in the house. The kids were gone that weekend. And I woke up in the middle of the night. It was in the hot summer and I had my windows wide open. And downstairs, there was a patio right outside my window, and I heard something on the patio. And you know, when you wake up and your heart starts, you know, and I'm listening and I'm thinking, oh. And then this scripture came to mind, and I said, I will lie down and sleep in peace, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. And the next thing I knew, I opened my eyes, and it was morning. And I laughed out loud. I thought, Lord, you did it. I mean, I absolutely conked right out when I had that as my focus. I have two funny little stories, and it might make me run over, but I have to tell them to you anyway. That's one of them. But the second one was when a couple of years later when I moved to Jacksonville, and I was living in this old historic house that was kind of set apart from other homes. And my bedroom faced right out to this little road. But, I mean, it's a little one-lane road, very tiny, and all deserted. And that night, during the night, I heard a little noise out on the street. And I looked out my window, and a truck had pulled up, a little pickup had pulled up right in front of my house. And it was kind of right there by where I could see my driveway. And out of the passenger side, a man gets out, and I'm watching. I'm thinking, what's this about? And he gets out, and he walks into the yard. He walks into my yard. I see him walking until I can't see him anymore, and I get out, and I walk to the other side of the house, and I'm watching because I now have another vantage point, and it's in the back where it's totally deserted, doors to the house right there, and I see this man in that yard. Now, I mean, I know this sounds so weird, but I just looked, and I'm thinking, and then I thought, I will lie down and sleep in peace. And I go, and I climb into bed. I conked out. The next day, I had lunch with Tad and Brett. And so we're talking, and so I said, oh, let me tell you what happened last night, you know. So I tell them this little scenario. And so I said, it was so funny. I said, because the Lord has given me this verse. And I said, it was so funny, because I climbed back into bed and went right back to sleep. Tad and Brett are sitting this way, you know. They both look at each other. They look at me, and they say in unison, 911. And I love that, because what that showed me is, yes, God wants us to have that peace, but there are also times he wants us to be wise. And I just realized, okay, that's something to remember. But you know, Jesus does want us to receive his rest. That has been the emphasis. That is what I'm so hoping you will see. Our fears can thwart us from receiving that rest. But if we see that he is with us, that knowledge will envelop us and will drive out that fear that so easily ensnares us. I knew it, I knew it. I wanted to go through all of Psalm 91 with you. I don't know if the Lord will have me do that in 2 weeks or whether this will just be the end and I'm not going to share that, but I do know that that is a powerful psalm that the Lord has spoken to me many, many times. And truly, maybe I will go through that whole thing in 2 weeks. I don't know. But My prayer is that you will have heard what I believe is the Lord's heart for you today. Doesn't matter what you're going through, does not matter what you are going through, what you are dealing with, how close to your heart this issue is. Yes, it may be reality, but his presence with us is the greater reality. Last night, Brett shared the quote from J. Oswald Chambers. I thought, how funny that I'd have two quotes from men named Oswald this morning. But the quote was, we can be as close to Jesus as we choose to be. Will you see him with you always? The next time something happens, before you pick up that phone to send that text or to make that call, would you make sure you say, let me see you here, God, because you are with me in this. And yes, this needs prayer, and I'm going to get that out, but Lord, let me see you with me. That's what he wants for each one of us, and that is my prayer for each one of us. Let's pray. Father, I do give you thanks. Lord, we love you so much, and we do want to acknowledge your presence in our lives, your presence in our circumstances. Would you help us, Lord? Thank you that I truly believe you don't rebuke us for our lack of faith, but you do long for us to open our eyes and see that you're there. Give us the eyes of faith, Lord, and help us to encourage one another with these words as well. You are with us always. We praise and thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.